the move, going deep, speed race. He's got Hill! He's got Hill!
From the Baptist Health Studios, inside the Baptist Health Training Complex, this is Drive Time with Travis Wingfield.
He's got it! Miami is in the playoffs!
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast. I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and on today's show, we begin the interviews with your Miami Dolphins free agents. We kick it off with tight end Jonnu Smith. We'll talk to Jonnu. We'll talk about his game on the field. We'll also talk to Justin Felder, who covered him in Atlanta, to get to know the person a little bit more. From the Baptist Health Studios inside the Baptist Health Training Complex, this is the Drive Time Podcast. New Dolphins tight end, Jonnu Smith. Joining us now, new Dolphins tight end, Jonnu Smith. Jonnu, welcome in. How is Miami treating you so far?
Man, awesome. This is home, and I'm getting that home field kind of love, you know, everywhere, man. So I'm excited to be here, excited to be a Dolphin. Can't wait to get to work.
You're back, right? You grew up in Ocala?
Yes,
went
sir.
To FIU. I'm always curious because, like, I'm kind of new to the area as well. People always say, yeah, like, you live in Florida. It's like, no, I live in South Florida. So can you help us describe the difference between Central Florida and South Florida?
Big difference. Those two different states. I need to split those up into two different states, man. Like, from the culture to the food to the, you know, the way it looks, everything. It's literally two different states, man. You know, Central Florida and South Florida. Central Florida, it could, you know, it could look like the middle of Alabama, you know what I mean? Or, you know, Texas or something like that. You know, South Florida, you would kind of get more city feels, you know what I mean? With Miami and, you know, Boca, and, you know, you'll kind of get, you know, more of that vibe, man. And, you know, so guys gotta, you know, when guys get here, man, they gotta learn quick that, you know, those are two different places.
A little more glitz and glamour down here.
Yeah, man, it's like a who's who.
That's right. Yeah, go to a Heat game and see all the
exactly,
stars on the sidelines
exactly,
down there.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and get some football here and talk about the offense you're joining here, because this offense, this coach has had a lot of success with tight ends in the past. Everyone knows about Kittle and San Fran. Durham Smythe had career highs across the board last year. How do you think your skills fit into this Dolphins offense?
I think it's a match made, man. It's, you know, first off, I'm beyond excited to be in an offense, you know, that was number one, believe, through the entire season last year. So to be able to bring a little bit more versatility to that side of the ball, a little bit more explosiveness, and just being the dynamic player that I am, you know, I'm excited about the light and the limits that we could reach, man, because honestly, I think the sky's the limit. You know what I mean? So to be able to come in here and be another explosive addition to this offense, you know, I think we're going to reach, you know, a lot of great places.
You mentioned versatility. So I've heard people compare, like, receiver lineups or eligibles to basketball teams. You got your speedy guards, your shooters, your big man in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Do you view receivers in that same vein? And kind of a follow-up to that, do you think that your play style really complements what Tyreek and Waddle do on the outside?
Yeah, man. You know, I consider myself a speed guy. I mean, you got to, man. You know, putting up 21 miles an hour, you know, at 200, you know, 45, 50 pounds. You know what I mean? You know, that's no easy task for a guy that's considered a big guy, man. But, you know, obviously, you know, with speed all over the field. Not only those guys, but guys coming out of the backfield. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's going to give defenses problems, man. So we got to continue to put all our heads together. Be selfless, you know what I mean? You know, going out there, playing for one another, and we'll get to where we want to go.
We had six guys last year in the top 10 of Next Gen's fastest ball carriers in the NFL. You can get on that list this year, you think?
I mean, I got to. The pressure on. You know, I'm in a room, you know, you run fast with fast guys, man. So, you know, that's, you know, those guys will be pushing me out there in practice every day. And, you know, it's funny now because I'll be considered one of the slower ones out of this group, man. So, I'm going to be working my butt off every day, man, you know, make sure that we're in the best position to go win ourselves, you know, championships.
I think you'll be all right with this. The size difference kind of helps you out in that regard a little bit, too. The size-speed combination is pretty good, so
absolutely,
you'll be all right there.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that stands out, speaking of size and speed, is your run after the catchability. Your stats jump off the page, jumps off the film. What makes that part of your game so successful in this offense that really prides itself on running after the catch?
Yeah, it's just something that, you know, I've kind of hung my head on my whole career in football. A lot of guys, you know, coming out of high school, you know, I was considered undersized and kind of smaller than, you know, what typical – you know, college scouts were looking for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, I always said, okay, well, I'm going to give you an element to the game that, you know, you can't turn down. And obviously everybody didn't take a chance on me coming out of high school, but it was only one, FIU. And, you know, I got so much love and respect for that school, man, that university, because of just what it did for me, not only as a football player, but as a man, you know, taking a chance on me and allowing me to realize, like, yo, it doesn't matter, you know, where the opportunity is. It's, you know, as long as you get that opportunity, take advantage of it. And I kind of always just had a chip on my shoulder, man. So my run after the catch ability is a lot of things fueled behind that. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's just kind of what I've hung my head on, like I said, in my whole career, and being able to make guys miss in space, being able to, you know, bring some momentum. You know, when you make plays, man, and you catch a ball, you know, 2-3 yards in a flat and able to make 2-3 guys miss and go get a first down, man, that brings a lot of energy and juice to the sideline. And that gets other guys rolling. You know, this game is a game of momentum. I'm a big believer in that. You know, I've been around for going on 8 years now. So I've seen a lot of football, man. And to be able to bring that momentum to this offense is exciting.
I think you might get some of those chances off the wide zone play action they run here in South Florida. It kind of fits you pretty well right there.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of that, head coach Mike McDaniel designs this offense, number one ranked offense in the NFL with his coaching staff, obviously. You mentioned Hard Knocks kind of being a bit of a selling point to you on your media availability. But I'm curious about actually meeting coach, because that's, you know, TV and you see the edited version of it. I love hearing first impression stories of head coach Mike McDaniel. What was your first impression when you met coach?
Listen, man, when I first saw him, you know, I didn't know if he was a professor, a college professor, or, you know what I mean, something along that sort. But when I heard him speak, I was like, yo, this dude knows stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I heard him talk, and I saw him coach, and seeing him, you know, get along with his players, and I'm like, there's something special about this dude, man. You know what I mean? You know, he may, you know, catch you at first guard of his appearance, man, but he loves the game. He knows the game, and, you know, he's a guy that takes care of his players. And I got so much respect for coaches that understand, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, your career, so to say, in some way, shape, or form, is in the palms of their hands. You know what I mean? And for him to understand that and recognize that and want the best for the players, man, you can't. It's rare to find that. So I'm happy to be here, man, and extremely excited to coach Mike McDaniel. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And just ready to get to it.
New head coach, new quarterback. You've talked about it a little bit already in your media availability, but I want to hear your perspective on what you've seen from watching Tua Tagovailoa from afar. I know you haven't had a chance to meet with him yet, but just watching him on tape, watching him play, what have you seen from the Dolphins quarterback?
I think I alluded to this earlier, man. I've been watching Tua and been a fan of his game since his Alabama days. Seeing him, you know, make plays in big-time games, you know what I mean? And, you know, coming in and stepping in, you know, when, you know, things wasn't going right for his team, and, just having that poise and since a young kid, man. So had a lot of respect for his game. I think he's one of the most accurate, if not the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. You know, I've saw it on film. I think this guy can make any throw on the field. You know, I think, you know, obviously me coming into this offense will, you know, even make things easier for him. And, you know, I'm excited to play with him, man. A guy like that, catching passes from him, you know, it's also going to make my job a lot easier.
So in doing some research on your background, John, we saw that you have 4 children, 3 boys, 1 girl, and, you know, I'm father of 2 myself. And so I always say that, you know, being a father has made me a vastly better human being. So I'm curious to ask you that question. What have your children done to make you a better father and a better person?
It's taught me patience, man. I think that's the number one thing that, you know, my babies, man, have provided me with life. You know, God has blessed me with 4 amazing babies. I'm thankful for each and every one of them. You know, and I would say that, you know, just patience and appreciation, you know what I mean? The things that, you know, we may get stressed out about at times, you look at them and, you know, you walk through those doors and it's daddy, 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 and you're like, you know, my problems ain't that big, man. You know what I mean? Like, I get to come home and enjoy this, and, you know, they just grateful with, you know, seeing their dad, you know what I mean? So, you know, those kids, man, you know, so special beyond, you know, special for me in a place where, you know, it's a lot going on in my NFL career and a lot going on in, you know, the career that I have. But, you know, to be able to come home to those kids and, you know, they don't even care about that
That's
stuff,
right.
man. You know what I mean? It means the world to me.
Win or lose on the field, you win every time you get home. It's always a win when you walk through those doors.
Absolutely.
Jonnu Smith, brand new Dolphins tight end. Appreciate your time today, man. Can't wait to watch you spike the ball in the end zone across the street over there.
And maybe do a backflip. You know what I mean? We'll see.
Better than Tyreek's, you think?
We got to put it to the test.
That's right.
We got to put it to the test.
Thanks, John. I appreciate
no
you, man.
No doubt, man. Appreciate you.
One down, several more to go on the player interviews. One thing I've noticed about these guys really across the board so far and meeting them is like soft-spoken, but a certain level of confidence and football intelligence that comes across when you talk to these guys. I think that's going to be a theme you kind of pick up throughout the course of this free agent class. So great stuff there. Let's go ahead and take our first break, come back on the other side, and talk a little bit about Jonnu Smith's game, what he can bring to the Dolphins that. And we'll also talk to Justin Felder to get to know Jonnu Smith even more. That's all next. Drive Time Podcast, your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by AutoNation. We talked about Jonnu Smith's game on the podcast last week a little bit, but I want to go a little more in-depth here. Having a chance to go back and watch through some of his tape with not just the Falcons, but also the Titans and even the Patriots. I got that backwards. The Falcons, the Patriots, and even a little bit of the Titans, where his game really materialized to begin his career as he was kind of paired there with Delanie Walker, if you guys might remember that name from the Tennessee Titans. He was kind of the second tight end in their two tight end packages, and they ran lots of that. And I think that Jonnu is one of those guys, when you watch that tape, when you watch the Patriots tape as well, because they signed Hunter Henry that year and almost kind of wanted to recreate their, you know, their Gronkowski and Hernandez package pre everything that happened with Aaron Hernandez, but they were electric through a personnel package that wasn't all that common or at all common in the National Football League back in those days. And they brought in both of those players. And I think that when you look at how the Titans used him and how the Patriots maybe envisioned using him, but it didn't work out that way because the Patriots offense since Brady left has been absolutely atrocious, right? But I think the vision for that was one like souped up receiver type of tight end, and then a guy that is also that, but gives you a little bit in terms of his in-line game. And I don't think Jonnu is going to line up at the Y frequently and go knock, you know, defensive ends off the football. That's not his game. But he does give you the flexibility in the sense that he can hit those split flow blocks. He can, you know, set an edge and hold the edge and wall that thing off for your C-gap runs in this outside zone system. He can help and chip in pass protection. But typically in the passing game, you're going to want him out in your routes because of his ability to exploit matchups, because of his ability to just understand and have feel for soft spots. Like, I don't think you envision Jonnu as a tight end per se. I think he's kind of just ineligible. And that's a seamless transition between receiver, tight end, and multiple things that he can do. I think something else that he does is you can put him out in the screen game, you know, your trips package, your stacks, and your bunches, and you can either throw him the ball from those looks, but also now, because we know the Dolphins receivers, as try hard and as much effort and will as they have as blockers, they're small guys, right? And so if I have a 190-pound receiver at the point of my stack compared to a 250-pound tight end at the point in my stack, who do you think has a better chance to execute a block on a 200-pound cornerback? Someone who's giving up weight to that guy or somebody that has 50 pounds on that guy? And it works because you can stand up and throw him the football, and he can be the one that makes guys miss, whether it's with power or speed, a stiff arm or a cutback. Like, he's elusive and strong, and that's really the genesis of his entire game, is the combination of speed and strength with physicality. And it shows up in short yardage situations, whether you're throwing him the football or asking him to do some blocking. Again, it's not going to be, who can I think of here? Was Anthony Fasano a good example? I mean, Julian Hill is a guy that pretty much just blocked last year, right? It's not that. It's not going to be that. But I think that he gives you enough to where you can show those looks and create certain looks as a counter because of what he offers in that realm, if that makes sense. But man, when I watch him run his routes, that's really where I get the most, I guess, glee out of this signing, because he really has a knack for attacking leverage. And you'll see it all the time. Like, teams will cover players like this with different types of looks and structures and you know, principles for their defense. Like, sometimes you'll see an Eric Rowe type come down and try to stab him with his arm, right? the jab stab and get that stab in there to reroute and try to force the timing of the route to get impacted. But he doesn't let that happen, man. He's got the strong arm swipe. He has the quick feet to kind of make that target a moving target, so to speak, and to get off those presses and reroutes. And then from there, like, this team almost never ran mesh last year. And like, Kyle Crabbs and I are like, hey, run more mesh. Mesh is simply when you have two crossing routes from either side of the field go over the middle of the football field, and it naturally rubs and picks linebackers. And you can do that against man coverage and spring some leaks. I think that Jonnu Smith gives you a really good option for a guy that can do that, because you can sell run game action, but also, no, I'm not going to the second level to pick off a linebacker in a run block. I'm going up there to run a route and probably rub him with, you know, Waddle or Tyreek coming back the other direction on that mesh look. We'll go ahead and throw a spot throw in there and try to get a big run after the catch because of what Jonnu Smith offered from his pre-snap alignment, his pre-snap look, his physicality at the release, and his physicality and ability to understand, you know, how to attack the certain zones and looks of defenses, because he understands, oh, they're in zone. There's my, you know, there's my hook defender. I know his landmark drop. I'm going to run my route to that spot to set that pick. Oh, that's a man coverage look. I know how to, you know, basically run this rub that doesn't trip up my receiver, doesn't get me flagged. It's a legal play. He just has those veteran nuance savvy types of things about him to his game. And again, the functional strength that you see in the rerouting, the ability to run the you know, those different types of spot routes and get off press, it shows up very, very frequently in his ability to run with the football after the catch. He's so strong and so thick around the waist that he's tough to bring down. And you see guys just bounce off of him. So I think that he can show the quarterback his numbers. I think he gives you he makes your check down options more attractive for a quarterback that maybe last year didn't throw a check down enough. Because now you can say, hey, Tua, like, it's not going to be a 4-yard gain. It might be a couple times, but a few times he'll break it for a big gainer. So I think that kind of security blanket, almost the versatility of his game. I believe that you kind of have, you know, John, who's kind of the receiving guy of the two tight ends. When you think about him and Durham Smythe, it opens up some 12 personnel packages for more flexibility. But I love what it does for the screen game, not just for the blocking aspect, but for what he can do catching the football and making plays with it in his hands. So I think that this is a really good fit. I think that John Embree kind of has his man here. I think that's the same case for Mike McDaniel. I go back to the Greg Olsen comments on the Dallas Cowboys game when he called that game with Kevin Burkhardt back on Christmas Eve, and how impressed he said that he was by Mike McDaniel and meeting him in those coaches' production meetings. And when he introduced himself to McDaniel saying, I love your offense, but man, where's the tight end at? And Mike said, that's coming in year three. I think that John is that guy, man. He was a guy that I highlighted when he got released from the Falcons, a guy that I've always been a fan of going back to the Titans and Patriots days. I just really think highly of him and think that it's going to be a good fit here. And he's a bit of a curveball compared to what you have with Reek and Waddle. And it's going to help you in your perimeter blocking game. I mean, this guy can, you know, we have so many running plays that go outside wide. It's been basically, you know, 310-pound offensive linemen out there or 190-pound wide receivers. Now we have a guy that can get out in space and do some of that stuff at 250 with, you know, agility and power in the blocking game for not just the screen game, but for the wide running game as well. So big fan of this acquisition. If I had to stack the free agents in order of how impactful I think they will be, I would put Jonnu right there at the top. Him and Jordan Brooks are probably my top two so far. Those guys and Aaron Brewer, I think, will be your three most productives. But I would say Jonnu has a case as number one. And my whole thing here is that I think that this Dolphins offense should focus on just being the top offense in the NFL. And whatever happens defensively, like, makes the difference between how deep you can go in the playoffs for sure. But I think that if you have the top offense in the NFL, you're a playoff team. You're going to get into the playoffs. Go back and look at top 10 offenses from the last, you know, 10 years. All those teams typically make the playoffs. You do it defensively, not the case. So I've always been a proponent of putting your eggs in the offensive basket. And I think Jonnu Smith be the first guy the Dolphins acquired and not hurting them in the comp formula. All of those things comprehensively made this a great decision, a great fit, and I think that he's going to have a big impact in his first year for the Miami Dolphins. So Jonnu Smith, we've heard from him. We've analyzed his game. Let's go ahead and take our last break right there. Come back on the other side, and I'm going to talk to a person that covered Jonnu Smith in Atlanta. That's all next. Drive Time Podcast, your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by AutoNation. We are joined now by a sports reporter for Fox 5 Sports in Atlanta, Justin Felder. Justin, welcome into the Drive Time Podcast.
Travis, appreciate you having me.
Very happy to have you on here and appreciate you taking some time today for us and to help us get to know our new tight end a little bit better here in Jonnu Smith. And I'll start with this. I'm curious about his locker room presence, you know, the weight that his voice carries with teammates, because for a guy to go into his eighth season, pretty rare for the, you know, average career is about three and a half years. So year number eight for Jonnu Smith, I have to imagine he's learned a few things about leadership, but I'm curious how you would describe his locker room presence and the weight that his voice carried among his teammates.
You know, it's kind of interesting, Travis. I remember one of our first sit downs with Jonnu, and it probably happened in every interview he did after signing with the Falcons. People said leadership and talked about a lot of young guys in the room and how's he going to lead. And I remember him saying several versions of, you know, I just got here, guys. But he really did seem to slide into that leadership role right away. I mean, he was a veteran, you know, having played in Tennessee, which was specifically of interest to a lot of folks because he played for Arthur Smith when he was an assistant there, the former Falcons coach, then, of course, going on to the Patriots as well. But having so much experience on a relatively young roster, you remember, of course, young quarterback, young running back, young tight end, wide receiver, the whole nine yards, he really was one of the more established guys, especially among the skill position players from day one. So I think his voice definitely, you know, carried from the start. He was a guy that you know, you didn't really see in guys' faces, things like that on the sideline when you look through our video that we got during games, but definitely somebody when you talk to his teammates would say that his leadership stood out, somebody that they could look to and would speak up when needed.
Yeah, you touched on the young offense that Falcons had last year with, you mentioned the quarterback, the tight end, the running back, the whole gauntlet really was a pretty young group there. And I kind of want to zero in on two spots there, because obviously in that tight end room, he had Kyle Pitts, who, you know, tight ends don't get drafted that high. Tight ends don't run that way. Tight ends don't look like Kyle Pitts do. He's supposed to be, you know, one of those generational types of players. And maybe the stats haven't gone that way for him early on in his career. I'm curious what you think the impact that Jonnu had on Kyle Pitts. And then also, you know, for a young quarterback who they always say the tight end's kind of a security blanket, for Desmond Ridder, who it didn't really work out for Desmond in Atlanta. He's now with the Cardinals, but just curious about his impact on those two young players at his position. And then of course the most important position in the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with Kyle Pitts and both of them talked, Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts spoke very highly of each other from the start. And the reason was they both kind of have a little bit of a shared background being from Philadelphia or the Philadelphia area. And it's funny, you talk to either of them separately about the other guy and they both would kind of joke about, well, I'm from the real Philadelphia. He is from a different part that just said, and they kind of went back and forth. So they had a really strong relationship from the start, giving each other a hard time. But both of them said that they really hit it off from day one with a shared background, you know, coming up from shared history, which I guess part of that was giving each other a hard time and having some fun with it. So it seemed like, you know, he had a really good impact on Kyle Pitts from everything we heard from Kyle, the way he spoke of him. And yeah, it was a tough season for Kyle Pitts, you know, having to deal with a bunch. So you can only assume having that calming presence in the tight end room could only be a benefit there. And then as far as Desmond Ridder goes, again, you know, Jonnu Smith put up career numbers really working with Desmond Ridder. It was an offense that, you know, I think a lot of Falcons fans would say, or if you watch this team, didn't click on a lot of different levels. But I mean, he had his most receiving yards of his career to Jonnu Smith, his most receptions in his career, his most targets of his career. So one, it spoke to the chemistry with Desmond Ridder, but also the trust that Arthur Smith had in him. So he was able to do a lot of different things. Definitely seemed to have a chemistry from day one with Desmond Ridder, and really produced in a way that I think a lot of folks outside of the Falcons building maybe weren't expecting. And probably it's a big reason why that, you know, the Dolphins took interest in him and he was able to further his career there.
Yeah, I think you talk about the production he had this year. I look at what he does like in the screen game, for instance, like breaking off screen plays for 60-yard touchdowns. Don't know many tight ends that can do that. And he looks like one of those guys that can, as he did last year. And, you know, just not a chance to chat with Jonnu here recently for the podcast. And he was on just before you came on the show here with us. And man, what an enlightening, calming presence. Like that was the first thing I noticed, was just how kind of calm he was, which I think, again, comes from 7 years of experience of doing this, right? The whole media car wash, the whole new building, now eventually getting to know new teammates. But I'm curious if you guys in Atlanta, albeit for just one season, had a chance to notice that in the media availabilities. And if not, what did you pick up from his media availabilities?
Yeah, calming, professional, and I would say honest. Honest would be one of the words that would come to mind. Again, you know, Falcons, high expectations last year didn't exactly go as planned. And Jonnu was one of those guys that would really shoot you straight. You know, when things were not going well, he was honest about it. He was the one that would say, you know, things need to change. We need to do this, this, and this. This is what I'm not seeing. he was one of those guys that we knew we could go to and hear what was really going on, not just we're going to go back to practice, go back to the drawing board, take it one game at a time, which, while true, is not as insightful as we would hope to bring to Falcons fans. So he was a guy that I personally really appreciated, just the honesty that he would bring. And the other thing, you know, just talking to him, he is a calm guy, super nice. I'm sure you guys had an awesome conversation as well, but also just kind of has that football toughness. You just talk to him and just his demeanor can be, especially having those tough, honest conversations after losses where you'd hear from him, just the toughness comes through that shows you, one, why I'm sure teammates take him real seriously, and two, I play for this long in the league, just having that as well, that seriousness, that toughness that, you know, will get his hands dirty, not just catching passes, scoring touchdowns, but will do the dirty work. So those were the things that kind of came across. But he was certainly a guy that I know I'm not the only one in the media, but I'll speak for myself personally, enjoyed talking to him because of the insight and the honesty he would give us on the team.
Yeah, we have a media good guy award that we hand out here every year, and it's given to the person that displays the best professionalism and cooperation with the media. And last year, I believe, was the most, we had the most players receive votes of any year since they've been doing that. And it was tough to choose a winner. It sounds like Jonnu might kind of make that decision tough again this year. And it kind of jives with how the Dolphins build their locker room with guys that are, you know, of that like-minded mindset there. So really good stuff. Justin Felder, Fox 5 Sports in Atlanta. You're the man, Justin. Thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Travis. Appreciate it.
And there he goes. And, you know, like, I do a lot of those interviews, and it's funny because, like, not all beat writers are bubbly, happy-go-lucky people. In fact, I would say often it's the opposite. But every once in a while, you get a couple of guys, or I should say a guy, like a Justin Felder, who is just top-notch, elite, good dude. And that's what he was there for. So appreciate his time. I want to go ahead and finish up here on the show by talking about some additional news that has come down over the last couple of hours here on this Thursday afternoon. And I'm probably going to do the podcaster's curse and record this ahead of the noon release on Friday for this podcast, when I assume we're going to sign 12 more players, because, hey, we signed 3 more guys reportedly on Thursday afternoon. And, you know, 10 free agents, Capopolips, right? Right? All that was a thing, right? Good call there. So Kendall Fuller is reportedly going to be joining the Miami Dolphins, and you talk about a top-notch cover corner, a top-notch veteran presence, a top-notch versatile, positionless type of defender that can move about the formation, play inside, play outside. He was a nickel defender in Kansas City his entire career, goes to Washington in the Alex Smith trade, believe it or not, and they turned him into a perimeter cornerback who can kick inside, who can blitz, who can fit the run. And you probably saw a tweet out there that the Dolphins signed Jordan Fuller, who allowed 9 touchdowns last year. Yeah, it's Kyle Fuller. It's not Jordan Fuller. Like, my God, man, what are we doing? What are we doing? Capopolips, right? God. And Kendall Fuller is a feisty playmaker who understands man and zone coverage, how to play leverage. You're going to get a defense this year, guys, and I'm so excited about the makeup of what I'm seeing in the back end right now, the back seven. You swap out Jordan Brooks for Jerome Baker, a player who was all forward all the time, right? Jerome didn't really play backwards that often. Jordan Brooks can play backwards, and he can play a second or third tier back beyond what most linebackers are capable of, and creates so much range for that one position on the interior part of the football field to span that part. Then you have matchup guys all over the back end. It's kind of like the Ravens last year. Big surprise, right? Anthony Weaver has a Baltimore Ravens type of defense where he can match up with Javon Holland, with Jalen Ramsey, with Kendall Fuller. And then now we just have luxuries in what Cam Smith and Kader Kohu and Nick Needham and Ethan Bonner can do, because you pretty much have enough guys as it is right now at your top line that you're basically fighting for depth and for, you know, a third or fourth role within the defensive backfield and playing time. So I talked about the Jordan Brooks move. I talked about this Jonnu Smith move. Kendall Fuller, Aaron Brewer as well. I'm a big fan of a lot of these moves. This one goes right to the top. I think this guy can flat out play. He's been a baller for a long, long time, and he just changes the complexion of your defense. I think that you're going to look at these moves in an individual, you know, scope and say, like, good player, bad player, whatever you might think of the player. This one's good, but also have the vision for the grander, the more macro view of, like, this defense is being built to play a certain way, and that's what you have here, I think, so far with the moves we've seen. Getting better in that back end. We also added another person up front, which I think still requires a little bit more. We know about Neville Gallimore from the Cowboys was added reportedly on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we heard reports about Benito Jones coming back to the Miami Dolphins. He got some reps for the Lions and played some good football up there at that nose tackle position. And that's really a spot the Dolphins haven't had for a couple of years now. Like, Raekwon Davis was the nose tackle here, but he so frequently played so high and because of his height that he would often invite, you know, blockers into his chest plate and get knocked off the football. And that, to me, is why there was such minimal playmaking from that player and from that position the last couple of years here, was because of the height. And so Benito Jones is a little bit more of a squatty body who can get under guys and kind of control reps that way. And he really developed and grew his game when he was up in Detroit. So a better player than what we saw him leave Miami as. And I recorded this podcast and had it ready to go on Thursday night for a Friday at noon publishing. And of course, as that's the curse that you get here, the Dolphins announced, per reports, another acquisition. And in that podcast, I had said, I think we need one more guy with Gallimore, with Jones, to kind of replace the work of what Christian Wilkins did last year in so many roles and so many positions, and they go out and get Jonathan Harris from Denver. So between Jones at the nose tackle and then Harris from Denver, who can play kind of some backside one, but mostly three technique and variations of two, three, or two eye and four eye, all those positions. And then with Benito Jones in the nose tackle spot and Neville Gallimore, who played nose tackle for the Cowboys at 302 pounds, the exact same thing they did to Mozzie Smith this year, their first round pick, who did not perform well because, well, that's not his position. Same exact thing with Gallimore, who was a stud coming out, a first round draft pick 4 years ago of those Dallas Cowboys. So he joins the fold as a rotational type of guy with Benito Jones alongside Zach Sealer. So you're getting better. You're getting more quality in that area. I think maybe one more guy might do the trick in that position. Maybe it's a high draft pick as well. So you have some options to fill that role out there. And then also a tight end, Joey Forston, was a guy that missed the entire 2023 season to a shoulder injury with the Chiefs, but he has mega upside. Probably a guy competing for a job alongside like Julian Hill in the back end of that tight end room. But man, there is upside dripping off this guy. He has elite athletic ability in that position group. And I feel like I'm forgetting one. Benito, Fuller, and Forston. No, we nailed them all there. So busy, busy offseason. Capopolips, right? Good call there. Let's go ahead and get out of here for the podcast. We're going to be doing these podcasts just like this for the next couple of weeks here. A couple of guys in the pod, talk to them, talk to beat writers who covered them, break down their games and analyze their games, how they fit in the team. Going to be a lot of fun here in the podcast, taking us really into April on the free agency content. So keep it locked right here with us on the Drive Time Podcast. You all please be sure to subscribe. I think Monday is going to be Jordan Brooks and Anthony Walker, I believe is the plan there. And then Jordan Brooks, I have a Seahawks beat writer, Michael Sean Duggar. And then for Walker, I'm not sure quite yet, but we'll figure that out. And then we'll do Poyer and Neal together, Brewer. Like, we're going to do all of them. That's coming up. Subscribe, rate, review, follow me on social at Winkler NFL, the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank podcast with my guy Seth and Juice. Check out the YouTube channel for the video version of all these interviews. We cut them with some B-roll, made a really pretty video out of that. Thanks to the content guys on the other side of the wall from me. Check out that YouTube channel. And last but not least, MiamiDolphins.com. The five things piece on each of these guys written by your boy, staying busy. All coming up on MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up. Caroline Cameron, Daddy.